Proverbs chapter 9 is where we are today, and it's all about choices. When you read Proverbs chapter 9, it is all about choices. Wise choices and foolish choices. See, choices have consequences, right? And we think of consequences in a negative connotation, but really, consequences can be good or bad, depending upon the choice that you make. And choices are in front of us every single day, and each of those choices has, big or small, a chance to contribute or detract from our lives. Your alarm goes off at 6 a.m. for school or work. Do you hit the snooze button and potentially make yourself late? Or do you go ahead and crawl out of bed and get going so you can stay on time? You step into the kitchen to grab a bite before you head out the door, right? Do you go and climb in the pantry and snag a Pop-Tart, which will give you, you know, a 30-minute sugar crash later? Or do you have enough time that you can maybe make a couple of eggs and get some protein going in your body, some nutrients, so you have more energy throughout the day? And when you get to school or work, do you spend your time wisely and take care of things on your to-do list to stay on top of your responsibilities? Or do you sit around on your phone all day scrolling through social media or TikTok and lose hours upon hours upon hours of valuable time? You see, choices have consequences. And the choices that you make equate to the experiences that you have with those consequences. It all depends on the same thing. And I'm no clairvoyant, right? I don't have any crystal ball or any way to really read your mind, but I'm pretty sure that I can speak for everybody in this room that each of us has experienced the highs of making wise choices and the lows of experiencing foolish choices. Would that be a fair statement? No matter what stage of life that we're in, except perhaps those who are newborn babies who don't know any better, right? All the rest of us, we've been faced with making wise or foolish choices. Now, King Solomon, being the wisest man to ever live, perhaps understood this better than anyone. And as such, he was probably the most qualified to give us this information from the book of Proverbs. It comes out of what we call the wisdom literature in the Bible. So, as might be expected, Proverbs is filled with solid advice and admonishment for those who are in relationship with God the Father. So today we're going to look at this in chapter 9, where Solomon lays out this word picture about two houses with two tables set before the reader. The question is, which table will we choose? Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to celebrate these students. We thank you, God, that they have come here this morning to honor you along with their families. We thank you, God, that we can come together as your people. And I pray, Father, as we talk through what we have here in chapter 9, when we talk about wisdom, when we talk about folly, I pray, God, that we can sift through all of this and make a choice for ourselves. Will we choose wisdom or will we choose folly? That's the question. Help us to understand today what you would have us choose. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, Proverbs 9 is the final chapter of this very lengthy introduction to the book of Proverbs, where wisdom and folly have been spoken of repeatedly in the first 9 chapters. In this chapter, the two of them make their final appeals to whom Solomon calls the simple, or the simple-minded, right? Which really that's defined as basically naive or open-minded or lacking judgment. And that pretty much covers every single one of us, does it not? See, as smart as we think we are, we're really not that smart. As the old adage goes, the smarter I get, the less I really know, right? That's the deal. We, no matter how smart we think we are, sometimes are naive. Sometimes we are open-minded in the wrong way. Sometimes we are lacking judgment. And while we're made in the image of God, our humanity, our sinful humanity, only contributes to our simpleness and clouds our judgment when it comes to making choices that are wise or foolish. You see, both of them call out to us, but there are stark differences between the two that we need to explore as we consider what choices to make. So the first part of our message today is entitled Wisdom's Table. Wisdom's Table. This comes from Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6, which says this: "Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city, 'Let all who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of insight.'" Now, in this part of our passage, Solomon lays out the work that wisdom has done and her invitation. I want you to notice here that it says that she has built up her house and set her seven pillars, which is more than likely a reference to God's perfect number of completion, an example of her virtuous nature. It also is important to emphasize the fact that she has prepared her own food and drink. She has taken the time to do these things, which are laborious processes. See, everything that wisdom has done to set a table for her guests, it takes preparation, and it takes patience, and it takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes perseverance and persistence. She has taken no shortcuts. She has cut no corners and spared no expense, including sending her servants out into the city to spread her invitation for people to come and eat at her table. The blessing of eating at wisdom's table is this: it's receiving a meal that satisfies by walking in the way of insight. We, the simple, those who lack judgment, by entering wisdom's house and sitting at her table, we eat and are satisfied, and we can choose no longer to live foolishly, but instead we can live by following the wisdom that only God can give. That's the benefit of eating at wisdom's table. We understand, we learn, we gain insight. We can make smart choices. In contrast to that, we have folly's table. We have folly's table. This is what Solomon says in verses 13 through 18. "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house and on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, 'Let all who are simple come to my house.' To those who have no sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious.' But little do they know, the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead." That is quite a contrast from wisdom's table to folly's table. You see, in contrast to how wisdom conducted herself, we see this very different picture painted for folly. The first thing that Solomon says is that she is unruly, which defines out as loud or raging or tumultuous. Notice that while wisdom sent out her servants to invite people to come to the table, folly instead takes the easy route. She doesn't go anywhere to do this. She literally sits on her porch and calls out, "Hey, come on over here. I got something good for you." That's literally what she's doing. Instead of sending out an invitation, she's grabbing a bullhorn with a sandwich board and setting it on her front porch and going, "Come on over here, folks. I got something you're going to want." It's basically like, you know, somebody driving by with a white van with free candy on the side, right? That's the idea here, okay? Or free Wi-Fi. I don't know what you guys want these days. Here's the deal. Wisdom sends out an invitation. Wisdom invites you to come and sit at her table. Wisdom says, "Make this choice to come and sit with me and be satisfied." Folly, on the other hand, turns around and just demands to be heard. She's just loud. Notice also, friends, that Solomon calls her simple, which I find very interesting because it's the exact same usage found in verse 4 when he's talking about the people that wisdom is inviting to her table. Folly is no different than the people she is trying to deceive. She knows nothing, just like they know nothing. We see it again in verse 16 when folly calls out to the simple as well. Well, here's the thing, is that what Solomon's doing here is he is showing the danger of going to folly's house. He's showing the danger of walking into her place. He's pointing out that she is just as naive and lacking in judgment as those that she calls to. And it's like the blind leading the blind. I also want you to notice, remember when wisdom worked? Remember when wisdom prepared a table with meat and mixed wine? Remember when wisdom set up her house and her seven pillars and put all the effort into putting things together? There's nothing about that when we talk about Folly's Table. Absolutely nothing. Literally, she has done nothing to prepare her home for her guests. She has instead stood on her porch and went, come on over here. And all she has is stolen water. Now, this idea of stolen water is the idea of taking shortcuts, right? She didn't have any work to do because water was dangerous back then. Water's dangerous, right? We talked about this last week, that wine was medicinal. Like, the reason that people had it wasn't because it was some sort of specialty drink in a glass that they were going to take a snifter and, you know, it took 100 years to make. No, they were making it because it literally was the safest thing to drink. All she has is stolen water. All she has is a shortcut. All she has is something that takes no effort and no energy. That's it. It might be tempting, but it's never right, and it's certainly not wise. Now, the food eaten in secret here, as I read through this and researched it, basically it's talking about the things that we try to hide from other people, the bad habits that we hang on to, the things we don't want anybody to see, the sinful actions, the stuff that we do when nobody is looking. That's the food eaten in secret. If anybody knows anything about something that's a habitual sin of any kind, those are things that can give you an endorphin rush, right? That's really what you're looking for. You're looking for this moment of happiness. You're looking for this endorphin rush to make yourself excited and feel satisfied. When you do things wisely, when you eat wisely and you exercise wisely and you function wisely, you get that same feeling. It's just a little bit slower in coming, right? Because it takes time and it takes effort. That's not what Folly's offering here. Folly is offering a quick fix. Folly is offering, you know, like, instead of going home and making this beautiful meal in the crock pot, Folly's telling you, hey, McDonald's is right over here for $10.95. But what happens when you eat McDonald's every day? You ever watch Super Size Me on Netflix? Go watch that. You'll see. Okay? That's the thing. Bad habits and sinful actions are things that give you a temporary high. They're things that give you that immediate endorphin rush. They're things, and the reason they call them habitual sin, the reason they call them habitual habits is that they become something that you can't stop doing. Because the more you do it, the more you crave it. And the more you crave it, the more you do it. And it's a never-ending cycle. And all you're doing is stuffing yourself full of nothing. That's all you're doing with it. It will never give you the long-lasting satisfaction that you so hunger for. Instead of providing life-giving nutrients and providing what we need to live lives in step with the Father, Folly's Table only serves to feed this insatiable desire for unwise living that only leads to destruction. In fact, the last verse in this section of our passage states that Folly's guests are the dead. That's who's at Folly's Table, are dead people. People who are literally shells of their former self because there's nothing left on the inside. They're shadows of who they were meant to be. So what does all this talk about wisdom's table and folly's table have to do with students graduating and moving on in life? And how does that apply to the rest of us who either aren't there yet or were there a long time ago? Well, honestly, it has everything to do with us. It has everything to do with all of us. It really does. Because we all make choices, and our choices will have consequences. And those consequences will be positive or negative depending upon the choice that we make. So we can choose to follow wisdom's call, or we can choose to follow folly's voice. Because we're going to eat somewhere. The question is, where? Because in life, we're going to have to choose our table. We're going to have to choose our table. The choice between eating at wisdom's table and eating at folly's table sits before us every single moment of every single day. Multiple times a day. Now, my three children went to Tonganoxie Middle School. Okay? And at TMS, they have You know, every school has rules, right? Every school has rules that you're supposed to follow, okay? They had rules at DeSoto. They had rules at Mill Valley. There are places that you had to, you know, at Olathe. They had places, they had things that were in place that you had to follow certain rules in order to make sure that you were working and living and functioning wisely, right? Isn't that how that works? And they had consequences. They had things that happened if you didn't do that. Well, at TMS, they had what they called a card system. And so you had your things that you were supposed to do, the things that you could do to live wisely, and then you were walked around. Everybody at the beginning of the year was issued a blue card. And this blue card had 5 slots on it for signatures. Okay? And if you did well and you turned in your assignments and you functioned like you were supposed to and you didn't do the things that the crazy kids did, you just did your thing and did it well, then your blue card stayed unsigned and life was good. You turned all your assignments in, you finish your classwork, you have no signature on your blue card, then at the end of the quarter, you get to go on a star trip somewhere. And every year it got even better. Like, you know, Jackson's or their first grade, your sixth grade year, right? Guys, your sixth grade year, I think it was like something you did at the school, right? The very first one, right? And then the big one was bowling, right? You guys got to go bowling? Huh? Oh, Science City. That's right. You did Science City. I love that place. That place is cool. Okay? So it's not, I should know this. I drove them more than likely. but yeah, they get to go to Science City. Well, what was the cool one at the end of the year, your seventh grade year? Ah, roller skating. Okay, they get to roller skating. This year, eighth grade year, they got to go to Worlds of Fun all day if they did well. Okay, so there are some really cool prizes if you're at TMS and you do the right things and you get your assignments in and you don't have any signatures on your blue card. Or even if you have 2 or 3 because you were a knucklehead a couple of times, right? As long as you're on your blue card, life's good. What happens if you get 5 signatures because you're a knucklehead on your blue card? Well, then you have a call to the parents, and then you have a meeting with principal, and then you get a green card. And the green card also has 5 signature spots on it. But with the green card, it doesn't matter how good you are at that point in time, it doesn't matter how many things you turn in or how good your grades are, you can't go on the trip because you're on your green card. Now, stay on your green card, and you're good for the most part, but if you screw up your green card, you go to a yellow card. You don't want to be on a yellow card because yellow card has steeper consequences. And you certainly don't want to be on your red card, which is the 4th one, because when that one finishes up, then we got bigger issues. So that's the deal. Stay on your blue card, make wise choices, and you are rewarded. It kind of sounds like real life, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like real life. For the most part, in your job, if you do the things well you're supposed to do, you generally get rewarded. Now, sometimes it's with more work. But, you know, maybe there's a bonus. Maybe there's the attaboy. Maybe there's some extra time off. Maybe there's something that goes along with that, right? That's the important part. You make wise choices and things go well. You make foolish choices, things don't go so well for you. Be at work on time. Dress accordingly. Conduct yourself professionally. Be courteous. Complete your tasks. Meet your deadlines. If you do all these things, then you will be rewarded with something. But show up late. Dress like it's Saturday. Get caught playing solitaire on your laptop instead of filling out your TPS reports in triplicate. Right? There's probably going to be a conversation or a redirect at best, or at worst, you might be packing boxes and looking for another place of employment. We're going to choose our table, so which one is it going to be is the question. Proverbs 9, 10 through 12 gives us our answer, hopefully. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are unwise, your wisdom will reward you. Or if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Now, what we read here in this passage is that this is the deal. If we're going to choose to try and sit at the table of wisdom, it begins with a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, that is a weird word for some people when we see the word the fear of the Lord. Because when we think about fear, we don't necessarily think about God unless we're thinking about lightning bolts falling on our head, right? Well, thanks be to God that we live in the age of grace and not the age of law. Thanks to Jesus, we don't have to worry about lightning bolts falling on our head because he is the one who is interceding for us at the right hand of God, even when we're knuckleheads. So we don't have to worry about that. But we do need to think about what that means. This doesn't mean the fear that you see in a horror movie, right? Or the fear perhaps on Mother's Day when you forget it's Mother's Day. Or you try to, you know, as a young person, try to express your adulthood and mama ain't having any of it, right? It's not that kind of fear that we're talking about. What we're talking about here is actually, it actually translates out to, or defines out to, as this extreme reverence for who God is and who we are not. Let me say that again. Fear of the Lord is an extreme reverence and understanding of who God is and who we are not. That's what it is. That type of respect and reverence sets us up a seat at the table of wisdom. If we choose not to have that healthy respect for God, for who he is and who we are not, then instead of keeping our reservation at wisdom's table, we're going to end up bellying up at the bar at Folly's house pretty quickly. A loss of that healthy fear leads to an overconfidence in who we think we are, and it moves God from first place to somewhere else down the line. Instead of choosing to put the preparation and the patience and the time and the effort and the perseverance and the persistence in that it takes to live wisely under God's provision, we choose the temporary pleasures of stolen water and secret food, which only leave us that much more empty and searching for our next fix. Graduates, you are moving on to the next phase in life. And we are excited that you are moving on to the next phase in life. We have celebrated you today for a reason. But here's the deal. Many of you are going to be leaving behind the comforts of home. Many of you are not going to be living at mom and dad's house anymore. You're not going to have your support groups that you've had in place for years to help you make wise choices. Now, it's no secret that you've had opportunities during your preparation of your educational years here to choose to eat from the wrong table. It's no secret. We all dealt with that too when we were your age. We had opportunities day after day to choose to live at wisdom's table or to choose to eat from folly's table. And I can guarantee that some of you have eaten from wisdom's table and it's been great. I can also guarantee that some of you have eaten from folly's table and it tasted great for about 5 seconds. But then it left you empty and searching for more. College is going to be an amazing experience. It really is. College is going to teach you more about who you are than almost anything else you can experience. But day in and day out, you are going to have to make choices, graduates. You're going to have to make choices because the fact of the matter is that you are under siege. Make no mistake. You are under siege. And folly's voice rings out clear in the streets. There's going to be opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you guys to eat at folly's table. And you might even not know that you're walking that direction because she's real good at disguising things. Now, some of you are headed to secular educational institutions, so you would think that that would be crazy. Well, some of you are headed to biblically based institutions too. Well, guess what? It's really no different at either place. You might have a little more cushion at a biblically based institution, but the fact of the matter remains that you are going to have to choose which table you're going to eat from. You're going to have to choose that. The danger is the same because those choices that you have to make are going to be there. Are you going to be the one that chooses to stay out late and drink alcohol with the people down the street or the people in the dorm next to you? Are you going to choose to go to that party? Are you going to choose to have intimacy with your significant other outside of marriage? Are you going to choose to look at pornography? Are you going to choose to be apathetic and do nothing and waste the money and the effort and the time that has been placed within you? The list goes on and on and on. Because folly's loud. And she's everywhere. And you're not going to have mom and dad looking out for you. You're not going to have them reminding you constantly to spend time with God. You're not going to have them with you. You're not going to have this church family more than likely. You're going to have to find another place to go and worship with people that you may not know. Because not everybody at every place that you're going to has people that you know. So you're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have to hunt for new friendships that hopefully are like-minded in Christ. You're going to have to develop a relationship with God on your own that is yours uniquely. No one's going to be there to help you keep on track with your personal abide time. or to help you go to church, or to get you up for class. You will have to make those choices on your own as to which table you're going to eat from. For those of us who are past this stage in life, that premise still remains the same, right? It really does. Each of us in our jobs and our families and our circles of influence, we all have choices to make. Will we choose to have that constant time with God? Will we choose to have a consistent abide time that allows us to experience Him in a new way each and every morning? Will we choose to continually meet together as the body of Christ, or are we going to allow anything and everything to keep us from this building or another? It doesn't matter where you worship. It matters that you worship. Are you going to let other stuff stack up to the point that you're not in community with the people of God? That's a problem. Will we surrender more completely and find a seat at wisdom's table? Or will we allow folly's temptation of stolen water and sacred food draw us to her doorstep? Each day, each person, we are faced with a choice to live wisely and honor Christ, or to live foolishly and dishonor Him. So the question is, what will you choose? Will you choose to eat at the table of wisdom, or will you choose to eat at the table of folly? Choices have consequences. Our prayer is that you would choose wisely. Amen? Let's pray.